Book 3, Chapter 6, Concerning the Tabernacle which Moses built in the wilderness for the honor of God, and which seemed to be a temple. Hereupon the Israelites rejoiced at what they had seen and heard of their conductor, and were not wanting in diligence according to their ability, for they brought silver and gold and brass and of the best sorts of wood, and such as would not at all decay by putrefaction. Camel's hair also, and sheepskins, some of them dyed of a blue color, and some of a scarlet. Some brought the flour for the purple color, and others for white, with wool dyed by the flowers aforementioned. And fine linen and precious stones, which those that use costly ornaments set in ouches of gold. They brought also a great quantity of spices, for of these materials did Moses build the tabernacle, which did not at all differ from a movable and ambulatory temple. Now when these things were brought together with great diligence, for everyone was ambitious to further the work even beyond their ability, he set architects over the works, and this by the command of God. And indeed, the very same which the people themselves would have chosen, had the election been allowed to them. Now their names are set down in writing in the sacred books, and they were these: Bezaleel, the son of Uri, of the tribe of Judah, the grandson of Miriam, the sister of their conductor, and Oholiab, file son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. Now the people went on with what they had undertaken, with so great alacrity, that Moses was obliged to restrain them by making proclamation that what he had brought was sufficient, as the artificers had informed him. So they fell to work upon the building of the tabernacle. Moses also informed them, according to the direction of God, both what the measures were to be and its largeness, and how many vessels it ought to contain for the use of the sacrifices. The women also were ambitious to do their parts, about the garments of the priests, and about other things that would be wanted in his work, both for ornament and for the divine service itself. Now when all things were prepared, the gold, and the silver, and the brass, and what was woven, Moses, when he had appointed beforehand that there should be a festival, and that sacrifices should be offered according to everyone's ability, reared up the tabernacle, and when he had measured the open court, 50 cubits broad and 100 long, he set up brazen pillars, 5 cubits high, 20 on each of the longer sides, and 10 pillars for the breadth behind. Every one of the pillars also had a ring. Their chapiters were of silver, but their bases were of brass. They resembled the sharp ends of spears, and were of brass fixed into the ground. Cords were also put through the rings, and were tied at their farther ends to brass nails of a cubit long, which at every pillar were driven into the floor, and would keep the tabernacle from being shaken by the violence of winds. But a curtain of fine soft linen went round all the pillars, and hung down in a flowing and loose manner from their chapiters, and enclosed the whole space, and seemed not at all unlike to a wall about it. And this was the structure of 3 of the sides of this enclosure. But as for the 4th side, which was 50 cubits in extent, and was the front of the whole, 20 cubits of it were for the opening of the gates, wherein stood 2 pillars on each side, after the resemblance of open gates. These were made wholly of silver and polished, and that all over, excepting the bases, which were of brass. Now on each side of the gates there stood 3 pillars, which were inserted into the concave bases of the gates, and were suited to them, and round them was drawn a curtain of fine linen. But to the gates themselves, which were 20 cubits in extent and 5 in height, the curtain was composed of purple and scarlet and blue and fine linen, and embroidered with many and diverse sorts of figures, excepting the figures of animals. Within these gates was the brazen laver for purification, having a basin beneath of the like matter, whence the priests might wash their hands and sprinkle their feet. And this was the ornamental construction of the enclosure about the court of the tabernacle, which was exposed to the open air. As to the tabernacle itself, Moses placed it in the middle of that court, with its front to the east, that when the sun arose, it might send its first rays upon it. Its length, when it was set up, was 30 cubits, and its breadth was 12, 10 cubits. The one of its walls was on the south, and the other was exposed to the north, and on the back part of it remained the west. It was necessary that its height should be equal to its breadth, 10 cubits. There were also pillars made of wood, 20 on each side. They were wrought into a quadrangular figure, in breadth 1.5 cubits, but the thickness was 4 fingers. They had thin plates of gold affixed to them on both sides, inwardly and outwardly. They had each of them two tenons belonging to them, inserted into their bases, and these were of silver. In each of which bases there was a socket to receive the tenon, but the pillars on the west wall were six. Now all these tenons and sockets accurately fitted one another, insomuch that the joints were invisible, and both seemed to be one entire and united wall. It was also covered with gold, both within and without. The number of pillars was equal on the opposite sides, and there were on each part 20, and every one of them had the third part of a span in thickness, so that the number of 30 cubits were fully made up between them. But as to the wall behind, where the six pillars made up together only 9 cubits, they made two other pillars, and cut them out of 1 cubit, which they placed in the corners, and made them equally fine with the other. Now every one of the pillars had rings of gold affixed to their fronts outward, as if they had taken root in the pillars, and stood one row over against another round about, though which were inserted bars gilt over with gold, each of them 5 cubits long, and these bound together the pillars, the head of one bar running into another, after the nature of one tenon inserted into another. But for the wall behind, there was but one row of bars that went through all the pillars, into which row ran the ends of the bars on each side of the longer walls, the male with its female being so fastened in their joints that they held the whole firmly together. And for this reason was all this joined so fast together that the tabernacle might not be shaken, either by the winds or by any other means, but that it might preserve itself quiet and immovable continually. As for the inside, Moses parted its length into 3 partitions. At the distance of 10 cubits from the most secret end, Moses placed 4 pillars, the workmanship of which was the very same with that of the rest. And they stood upon the like bases with them, each a small matter distant from his fellow. Now the room within those pillars was the most holy place, but the rest of the room was the tabernacle, which was open for the priests. However, this proportion of the measures of the tabernacle proved to be an imitation of the system of the world, for that third part thereof which was within the 4 pillars, to which the priests were not admitted, is, as it were, a heaven peculiar to God. But the space of the 20 cubits is, as it were, sea and land, on which men live, and so this part is peculiar to the priests only. But at the front, where the entrance was made, they placed pillars of gold that stood on bases of brass in number 7. But then they spread over the tabernacle veils of fine linen and purple and blue and scarlet colors embroidered. The first veil was 10 cubits every way, and this they spread over the pillars which parted the temple and kept the most holy place concealed within. And this veil was that which made this part not visible to any. Now the whole temple was called the holy place, but that part which was within the 4 pillars, and to which none were admitted, was called the Holy of Holies. This veil was very ornamental, and embroidered with all sorts of flowers which the earth produces, and there were interwoven into it all sorts of variety that might be an ornament, excepting the forms of animals. Another veil was which covered the 5 pillars that were at the entrance. It was like the former in its magnitude and texture and color, and at the corner of every pillar a ring retained it from the top downwards, half the depth of the pillars, the other half affording an entrance for the priests, who crept under it. Over this there was a veil of linen of the same largeness with the former. It was to be drawn this way or that way by cords, the rings of which, fixed to the texture of the veil, and to the cords also, were subservient to the drawing and undrawing of the veil, and to the fastening it at the corner, that then it might be no hindrance to the view of the sanctuary, especially on solemn days, but that on other days, and especially when the weather was inclined to snow, it might be expanded, and afford a covering to the veil of diverse colors. Whence that custom of ours is derived, of having a fine linen veil, after the temple has been built, to be drawn over the entrances. But the 10 other curtains were 4 cubits in breadth, and 28 in length, and had golden clasps in order to join the one curtain to the other, which was done so exactly that they seemed to be one entire curtain. These were spread over the temple, and covered all the top and parts of the walls, on the sides and behind, so far as within 1 cubit of the ground. There were other curtains of the same breadth with these, but one more in number, and longer, for they were 30 cubits long. But these were woven of hair, with the like subtlety of those of wool were made, and were extended loosely down to the ground, appearing like a triangular front and elevation at the gates, the 11th curtain being used for this very purpose. There were also other curtains made of skins above these, which afforded covering and protection to those that were woven both in hot weather and when it rained. And great was the surprise of those who viewed these curtains at a distance, for they seemed not at all to differ from the color of the sky. But those that were made of hair and of skins reached down in the same manner as did the veil at the gates, and kept off the heat of the sun, and what injury the rains might do. And after this manner was the tabernacle reared. There was also an ark made, sacred to God, of wood that was naturally strong and could not be corrupted. This was called Aaron in our own language. Its construction was thus. Its length was 5 spans, but its breadth and height was each of them 3 spans. It was covered all over with gold, both within and without, so that the wooden part was not seen. It had also a cover united to it by golden hinges, after a wonderful manner, which cover was every way evenly fitted to it, and had no eminences to hinder its exact conjunction. There were also 2 golden rings belonging to each of the longer boards, and passing through the entire wood, and through them gilt bars passed along each board, that it might thereby be moved and carried about, as occasion should require. For it was not drawn in a cart by beasts of burden, but borne on the shoulders of the priests. Upon this its cover were 2 images, which the Hebrews call cherubims. They are flying creatures, but their form is not like to that of any of the creatures which men have seen, though Moses said he had seen such beings near the throne of God. In this ark he put the 2 tables whereon the 10 commandments were written, 5 upon each table, and 2.5 upon each side of them, and this ark he placed in the most holy place. But in the holy place he placed a table, like those at Delphi. Its length was 2 cubits, and its breadth 1 cubit, and its height 3 spans. It had feet also, the lower half of which were complete feet, resembling those which the Dorians put to their bedsteads. But the upper parts toward the table were wrought into a square form. The table had a hollow towards every side, having a ledge of 4 fingers' depth that went round about like a spiral, both on the upper and lower part of the body of the work. Upon every one of the feet was there also inserted a ring, not far from the cover, through which went bars of wood beneath, but gilded, to be taken out upon occasion, there being a cavity where it was joined to the rings, for they were not entire rings, but before they came quite round they ended in acute points, the one of which was inserted into the prominent part of the table, and the other into the foot. And by these it was carried when they journeyed. Upon this table, which was placed on the north side of the temple, not far from the most holy place, were laid 12 unleavened loaves of bread, 6 upon each heap, one above another. They were made of 2/10 deals of the purest flour, which 1/10 deal, in Omer, is a measure of the Hebrews, containing 7 Athenian kotelo. And above those loaves were put 2 vials full of frankincense. Now after 7 days other loaves were brought in their stead, on the day which is by us called the Sabbath, for we call the 7th day the Sabbath. But for the occasion of this intention of placing loaves here, we will speak to it in another place. Over against this table, near the southern wall, was set a candlestick of cast gold, hollow within, being of the weight of 100 pounds, which the Hebrews call chincheris. If it be turned into the Greek language, it denotes a talent. It was made with its knops and lilies and pomegranates and bowls, which ornaments amounted to 70 in all, by which means the shaft elevated itself on high from a single base, and spread itself into as many branches as there are planets, including the sun among them. It terminated in 7 heads in 1 row, all standing parallel to one another, and these branches carried 7 lamps, 1 by 1, in imitation of the number of the planets. These lamps looked to the east and to the south, the candlestick being situate obliquely. Now between this candlestick and the table, which, as we said, were within the sanctuary, was the altar of incense, made of wood indeed, but of the same wood of which the foregoing vessels were made, such as was not liable to corruption. It was entirely crusted over with a golden plate. Its breadth on each side was 1 cubit, but the altitude 2. Upon it was a grate of gold, that was extant above the altar, which had a golden crown encompassing it round about, whereto belonged rings and bars, by which the priest carried it when they journeyed. Before this tabernacle there was reared a brazen altar, but it was within made of wood, 5 cubits by measure on each side, but its height was but 3, in like manner adored with brass plates as bright as gold. It had also a brazen hearth of network, for the ground underneath received the fire from the hearth, because it had no basis to receive it. Hard by this altar lay the basins and the vials and the censers and the cauldrons made of gold, but the other vessels made for the use of the sacrifices were all of brass, and such was the construction of the tabernacle, and these were the vessels thereto belonging.